The Capital Investment Committee will come to order. The first item on the agenda is the Grand Rapids Itasca Recreation Association Center funding request. And this is a informational request because we're not in possession of the bill. But I've made the decision that any bill that comes or any project that comes before this committee for information, to give us information about the request for a project and capital investments, whether we have the bill or not, will not make a difference. Why we are having these informational hearings is so the project can get on the spreadsheet. If the project does not get on the spreadsheet in a timely manner, we will not be able to consider the projects. And so I'm giving every opportunity, whether the bill is before us or not, to have the project come to mind and get on the spreadsheet. Because we will not add things on the spreadsheet after the deadlines come. So we have to have basic information about the project, the costs of the project, the community's involvement or financial involvement in the project, and where the project is in the vision. Is it just a dream, or has design been done? What's happened? And we have way over 100 projects to consider, and we've been taking them in a very timely basis. And in the next week, we're going to take them on an even timelier basis because time is limited. And we are on the same schedule as all other committees. April 12th, we have to have our bill done. We don't have time for projects to keep appearing. So if there's anyone's listening and they're not quite ready, you better talk to me. We welcome everyone to come and to spend their 7 or 8 minutes with us in the best manner you can think of. And committee members, I can't always see if you're wanting to talk, and sometimes you want to ask questions that run into the next people's time period, so we're going to try not to do that either. And I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut, although that's going to be very difficult. And I imagine Representative Erdahl, he has the same guideline now on the time constraints that I have. So
you get to talk more?
You get to talk once. We'll see what we can do. Thank you. Representative Lehman, tell us about your project.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing our project. I'm so pleased to be first up out of 100 or so projects here for informational purposes.
But you came from far away to do this, and so why shouldn't you be first?
That's right. Thank you. Well, with me today, I have our city administrator with the City of Grand Rapids, Tom Pagel, and I have City Councilor Rick Blake, who did drive down from Grand Rapids. And some of you are familiar with a version of this project because you visited the IRA Civic Center in Grand Rapids last year on the bonding tour. And at that time, we were talking about a larger vision. We knew that there had to be some emergency repairs done to the Civic Center because the roof is failing and we have some other issues. But the community thought they would take that emergency and expand on that. Well, They have decided to scale back because these emergency projects really need to be done. And so rather than looking at a larger project as you did last year, we're here before the committee today with a $5,488,000 project. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to City Administrator Tom Pagel. Thank you.
Welcome, Mr. Pagel.
Madam Chair and representatives, thank you for allowing the City of Grand Rapids to speak with you today. The IRA Civic Center was originally constructed in 1962 by the Itasca Recreation Association, which was a group of volunteers. In 1968, they donated the facility to the City of Grand Rapids. When that facility was built, the wood truss structure that holds the roof was designed to carry about 20 pounds per square foot. Current building codes require 46 pounds per square foot, so it's more than half of what's required today. When you take into account the deterioration of the wood truss, it's far less than 20 pounds per square foot. This truss roof system's been modeled and analyzed by John Ahmet, who is a registered professional engineer with the state of Minnesota. I think highlights are very important from John's reports on the existing condition of the truss system. He says the severe undercapacity of the 1962 roof truss is a dangerous condition and should be corrected. Signage should be considered to warn the public and employees of the significant undercapacity of the roof structure for snow loading. In his professional opinion, the West facility should not be used in the winter months unless until the building official, building ownership, and other parties agree on temporary measures to protect the public and adjacent structures. Just a side note on that comment, if you turn to page 4 of the handout, you will see that what we've decided is we remove every snowfall from the roof. And the reason we remove every snowfall from the roof is the most recent failure, web member failure, if you turn to page 3, occurred with less than 4 inches of snow on the roof, and it was not a heavy snowfall like we will receive in March when we get the heavy wet snows. So we're removing every inch of snow that falls on that venue. His last key statement is the venue should be closed during a significant snowfall event with the understanding that a partial failure has occurred with less than 6 inches of snow on the roof. This is a very important regional facility to our community. We see over 200,000 people go through the doors a year on this. We host over 30 dry floor events. A really good example of a dry floor event is we host K through 6 day camp throughout the entire summer so that parents who work throughout the summer when their children are done with school have a place to go Monday through Friday. It's a very popular program for children. The facility, the University of Minnesota, has projected that it has over $3.5 million in economic impact to our community per year. And in greater Minnesota, it's a facility that sustains our hotels and our restaurant facilities throughout the winter, so we have those available throughout our peak tourism seasons of May through October. In addition to that roof issue, like many other facilities, we have the R22 refrigerant issue. But more importantly, we're having tube failures under the concrete slab, and we're regularly cutting the slab and going in and having to patch those. We also have ADA issues where people with disabilities cannot maneuver from one part of the facility to the other unless they go outside down steeper sidewalks and on snow-covered sidewalks. So our intent is to upgrade that and install an elevator. And in addition, we have health and safety improvements with HVAC systems, bathroom issues as well. Total project cost is about $10.9 million. The City of Grand Rapids is requesting, as Representative Lehman had mentioned, $5,488,000 to assist us with this urgent issue. With that,
tell me about this dry floor. Do you have ice in there sometimes?
Yeah, we have ice in there typically November to April, and then we utilize the facility as a dry floor without ice from May through.
Okay. All right. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What are the dimensions of the building?
Madam Chair, Representative, I would have to get back to you on that, but the span is...
The guy back there, who knows?
There's John. Thank you. John Ahmed, our structural engineer, has arrived from
Mr. Ahmed?
Duluth.
Sorry, I just thought I'd interject. About 120 feet by about 320 feet is the roof that we're talking about.
The dimensions of the facility, you said the roof. Is what, give those again.
The dimensions of the structure are approximately 120 feet wide and about 320 feet long.
And if I may, Madam Chair, what is, if you have a hockey event, for instance, what's the seating capacity in the building?
A seating capacity is a little over 3,000, and it occurs when Grand Rapids takes on the Greenway Raiders.
Right, who wins?
Not in our favor right now.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Counselor, did you have prepared remarks? Oh, okay. Well, welcome, Counselor. Thanks for coming down. Thank you very much, Representative Lehman.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Second item, Representative Nornes. Fergus Falls. Welcome to the committee, Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to present our project as part of your informational hearing. And House File 1469 deals with Fergus Falls. And we have a river that runs right through our town. It's been there since even before the city. And the city has some ideas on how to actually take that beautiful underutilized resource and develop some really good ideas from that. So I have with me today the Mayor Ben Shire, Fergus Falls, and a city councilman next to him, Tom Roofer. And I think I'll turn it over to the mayor at this time.
Okay. Mayor Shire.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. As Representative Nornes mentioned, there is a river in Fergus Falls, although you may not know it if you drive. We have not done a good job as a community of focusing and highlighting the river that is beautiful. We also have a beautiful historic downtown. And for decades, we've been talking about revitalizing the river and turning our attention towards the river. 2 years ago, we actually took the step of initiating a community-wide project, downtown riverfront master planning process that took us 18 months and involved dozens of community meetings and hundreds of citizens providing input. And the results of that process was we came up with five opportunity zones, and so we're here before you today to talk about implementing the first of those five into the the revitalization of our community. And I think that the overwhelming decision from that process was to focus on our assets and what makes Fergus Falls unique. And I think the timing is could not be better, based upon some of the economic challenges that we face as a community. So I'll let Councilmember Tom Roofer talk about that a little bit.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Councilor Roofer.
Yes, we've experienced some economic difficulties in Fergus Falls with recent retail closures. We lost a Target. We lost a Herberger's. So what this project is going to do is going to provide the spark that's going to revitalize our downtown. I'm of the mindset that the future of growth in Fergus Falls is going to be downtown, taking advantage of that, the river that we have. And this project is going to give people a reason to come to downtown Fergus Falls and stay there. We hope to, we'll be hosting community events at the amphitheater. We're going to have, water features in as part of this project, interactive water features that kids will be able to come and play downtown And so families are going to come downtown, stay downtown, eat downtown, but like I said, this is just going to be the spark that's going to start the whole thing off. We've got developers ready to go on other properties on the river, and it's just something that you'll notice I'm wearing my Fergus Falls yes button, and this is something that our local development authority has printed up, and that's the attitude that we're instilling in people in Fergus Falls is not an attitude of no, but an attitude of yes, why not? So again, thank you for your time, and I appreciate your support.
Is the spark then the amphitheater, or is the amphitheater already there, or are we building an amphitheater?
Madam Chair, members, so the project is a two-block project. You have a copy of, I think all the members have this in front of them. It consists of basically, I'd say, five components, one of them being the amphitheater, the other being a river market that will house, in addition to just, it'll be a farmer's market, but it'll be more than a farmer's market. It'll be a community gathering place, a river balcony along the two-block stretch. There'll be public art installations, and there'll also be an interactive water feature. So the city owns the property, both those. Right now are empty parking lots, and we really believe that this, as I mentioned, the five opportunity zones, we plan to use this public investment to leverage private dollars. There's a privately owned mill that's adjacent to these projects that we've talked with the developer, and again, that we see that moving forward shortly. It's a $4.5 million project. We're asking for $1.75 million from this of state bonding. As you see, we have $90,000 from LCCMR. We have $1.5 million in local fundraising. The city will bond for the remainder, which we anticipate to be slightly over $1 million. And we also have $200,000 grant request for public art installation with the National Endowment for the Arts. The project, the final design has been done on this project. As I mentioned, we own the property, and the only thing left to be done would then be the construction documents. So we are ready to go with this project.
Tell me about the LCMR contribution.
It's in a bill that's currently being considered. It's been status of the LCCMR, but it's a $600,000 for the trails along the river. $90,000 would overlap and be a part of this project.
Okay, so you're asking for, in another bill, you're asking for LCMR money,
and it's been approved by the committee, and it's in the approved by the legislature this session.
And how much is that?
So $90,000 would be a part of this project.
$90,000. Okay. For phase one.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And so the $1,750,000 that you're asking in this ask, is that for design and pre-design, or is that design and pre-design already been done? And that's for the actual structures?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members, the total project cost is 4.5, so the 1.75 that we're asking for does include the final design and the construction documents would be part of that, but the 4.5, to answer your question, the 4.5 does include the design.
The 4.5.
Correct.
Okay. Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Representative Olson, St. Louis County Heritage and Arts Center. I see you have with you Ken Bueller and Mr. Mancuso.
Good Good morning, Madam Chair and members, and thank you for taking the time to hear about House File 607. As you know, Duluth has several old, beautiful, historical, and iconic buildings, and today we're here to speak to you about just one of them, the Duluth Depot, which is formerly called the St. Louis County Heritage and Art Center. And we are here to talk about making an important investment in this asset that we have had previous investments that have helped the success of this facility and the regional significance it's had. And this building is well over 100 years old, is it on the National Register of Historic Places. It needs some critical investments, again, to remain fully operational for the next 100 years. And today we're asking you to partner once again to preserve this priceless statewide asset. And with that, I'll turn it over to the testifiers.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Representative Olson, for that very kind introduction. Thank you, Chair Murphy, for this opportunity. Representatives and staff, thank you for your time. And thank you to the state of Minnesota for your past investment in the St. Louis County Heritage and Arts Center, the Depot, in downtown Duluth, as outlined by Representative Olson. The Depot was built, as she said, in 1892 by the Northern Pacific Railway and served five different railroads, 57 trains a day, and 750,000 passengers a year. And again, as Representative Olson said, today it's on the National Register of Historic Places. The last time we were here before you was in 2011 for the roof over the train shed, which is the gallery for the Lake Superior Railroad Museum, Trackside. And I work for the Railroad Museum. Trackside, where all those passengers arrived and departed, started or ended their journeys and dreams. And for decades, it was the point of debarkation for soldiers going off in service of our country. The old train shed roof leaked so badly that it stormed harder inside the building than when it rained outside. Luckily for us, when the Senate Bonding Committee visited the depot on their inspection tour that year, it was raining outside and inside, and we got the funding.
And the senators don't like to get wet.
No. And we had no umbrellas. We're here today to make sure that we don't get to that point again, though. The roof over the performing arts wing of the building is showing its age and starting to leak. And besides that old roof, there are other needs in the building as well. But under the new energy-efficient roof over the train shed is the Train Museum, voted by USA Today as the best transportation museum in America. The honor means we weren't just recognized as the best train museum. The competition was between trains, planes, ships, and automobiles, all transportation museums, and we were voted by USA Today as the best. Part of that relates to our annual visit to the most popular and recognized train in the entire world, if you are this tall, Thomas the Tank Engine and his bestie, Percy. Last year, over 19,000 of Thomas's best friends came to Duluth to ride behind the number one engine from the island of Sodor. In 2017, we commissioned a Zenith research study that found the economic impact to Duluth from Thomas, when he's here, is $8.5 million. 74% of our guest visitors come from the Twin City metro area, making Thomas a destination vacation for the whole family. Just as a comparison, by the way, Grandma's Marathon has an economic impact of $9 million. Granted, they do that over one weekend, and we take two. Everyone loves Thomas, but a Thomas event is not for everyone. For children with autism, the event with almost 20,000 people, music, noise, confusion, and too many choices all at once can be too much. 3 years ago, we worked with Autism Minnesota to design a sensory-friendly day out with Thomas. Tickets were free for children and an adult, the child on the spectrum, and the event is capped at 300 people for obvious reasons. This was so successful that Mattel and Hit Entertainment, the brand managers for Thomas, have rolled out similar events across the country based on the model we developed in Duluth. But we're not just about trains, which is why we need and are requesting this investment in preserving the entire depot facility. The St. Louis County Heritage and Arts Center is home to arts, culture, and history for all of Minnesota. We hold the stories of the Native American First Nation people in the Ojibwe Gallery, tell the history of a county built on iron ore, and honor the dedication to America by our soldiers in Veterans Memorial Hall. The depot is home to the nationally acclaimed Duluth Playhouse, which, by the way, is under the roof that's starting to leak. Also, our guest visitors can tour the galleries of the Duluth Art Institute, enjoy the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra, Arrowhead Chorale, Matinee Musicale, and we're not just home to the Duluth Ballet, we house the Minnesota Ballet. So in summary, we're working on two projects that are intended to build on our current success and guarantee that the depot's future is sustainable. One is the return of rail passenger service between Duluth and Minneapolis aboard the Northern Lights Express, a train that will change everything. The other is a million-dollar train set. The exhibit is a 5,000-square-foot, historically accurate, working model of the Duluth, Winnipeg, and Pacific Railway from Duluth across Minnesota's glorious Iron Range all the way to International Falls and depicts the structures and buildings along the way. I could go on and on about this, but time dictates otherwise. And a railroad always runs on time. Tony Mancuso is the St. Louis County Property Manager and has more of the nuts and bolts on this request. I'm just here to say thank you and to let you know our past investment, your past investment, has been our stewardship. And with our members, with the state of Minnesota, with our volunteers, the city of Duluth, the county of St. Louis, we preserve this historic structure, not just a beautiful old building, but as a vibrant space that is the heart and soul of arts, culture, and history in our region.
Did he leave me any time, madam?
He left you a little bit, but I have a question for him before we get off of him. How do you feel about bells? Train bells?
We have quite a collection of them, Madam Chair, if that's what you're...
Do you have space for additional bells?
Yes.
Thank you. We will pursue that at another time.
Thank you.
I think Thomas, friends shouldn't just be one gender. I think Thomas needs a female train so that little girls can identify with the train, too.
It's interesting, Madam Chair, that indeed there are female characters in the show.
But they're secondary, aren't they?
Yeah, they're passenger coaches.
Let's go. Mr. Mancuso, welcome.
Thank you. There was a steam engine named Emily on the island of Sador, too. I have grandchildren. What I think you'll find, I'll go quickly, is we need to probably make a correction, as John pointed out to me. The state request for this project is $4 million, and the county's match is $4 million. I believe your handout has $5.75 million. That's incorrect. So I apologize for that. I have new handouts if you'd like them. Okay. And what this is, nuts and bolts, this is an asset preservation. As Ken said, this thing's 100 plus years old, built in the mid-1890s, and we're talking about heating, ventilation, air conditioning, roof, electrical system. Primarily, it's infrastructure and safety. The fire alarm system is almost as old as Ken, and it's sprinkler upgrades, egress, elevator code upgrades. This is all really nuts and bolts stuff for the county, and we've had partners. I think it was mentioned before, the state has partnered in this, the federal government has partnered in this, the city has partnered in this for this regional hub. It's kind of a public gathering place. It has the Betts and all the other organizations that Ken mentioned. But overall, I'm the building guy for the county, and our buildings go from Canada to all the way to Duluth, and we have a couple hundred buildings. A historic building is always more challenging than a newer building. It's a little more expensive to take care of, requires a lot more maintenance. This building is a Norman-style architecture. It's a beautiful facility right in downtown Duluth. NLX will be coming soon, and we're making this request of matching funds for the county so we can preserve this regional treasure. Did I go fast enough?
You did fine. The county board taking a position for their $4 million?
Madam Chair, we are ready for that.
Ready for that.
We're ready for that.
Thank you. Representative Erdahl.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to quickly comment that we've been, excuse me, to the museum there. I find it an excellent museum. Thank you for the train ride. And for my grandson, Eli, in Farmington, who came a couple months ago and visited and is a great admirer of Thomas, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Harkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is, can you get from the Duluth Train Museum to Hermantown in a train?
Yes.
No.
No? You can't go up through Adolph?
You can get close.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adolph's in Hermantown.
That was right by it.
Yeah. I get trained on some Monday mornings two times coming down the Midway Road to get to 35.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I don't recommend it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Representative Davids. Long time since I've heard about Chatfield. That was my other term when I served on the bonding committee. Long time ago. Welcome to the committee, Representative Davids, Mr. Martin.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members, and many of you are very familiar with this project. We have it in two phases. Phase one is complete, and Mr. Young, the city administrator of the city of Chatfield, home of the Mighty Gophers, is here to describe phase two, what we're looking at for bonding at this point. And as Chair Dean would know, there's some famous wrestling history in that auditorium. But with that, we'll, Madam Chair, if I could turn it over to the city administrator, Joel Young, for a description of phase two.
Thank you, sir.
No, Mr. Martin. Mr. Young.
Thank you, yes. Thank Mr. Martin sends his regrets.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, we would have, I had a bill up yesterday, and I told the folks to stay home because 13 and a half inches of snow and 50-mile-an-hour winds kind of raises havoc, if you will.
And 7 minutes isn't worth it, right?
Oh, it can be well worth it.
Thank you. Mr. Young.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As Mr. David says, my name is Joel Young. I'm the city clerk of the city of Chatfield. And this request is for what we consider the second and final phase of funding for a project that will repurpose two old school buildings into a regional arts center. The Chatfield Center for the Arts started with nothing but a couple of old buildings that were being abandoned by the Chatfield School District. With your assistance in the 2014 bonding bill, we renovated the Potter Auditorium, which was constructed in 1936 as part of the New Deal. This project will focus on a building that was constructed in 1916 as a high school. In the back left side of your packet that's being distributed, we've included a summary report so you can see how we handled the 2014 allocation. The report includes a timelining events, a list of businesses that profited by the project at the time, and how the money was distributed throughout Minnesota. We expect that money from this allocation would be spread out among Minnesota in a similar fashion. Artists come to the Chatfield Center from throughout Minnesota and throughout the nation. One of the documents in your packet provides a listing of artists and where they come from. And another document has a scattergram that shows patrons traveling from the center from throughout the region, including northern Iowa, western Wisconsin, as far west as Austin-Albert-Lee area, and a number of patrons from this metropolitan region. The center's programming focuses on music and theater, and this project will add fine arts programming to the mix. This request is for $9,728,000, of which almost one-third is due to inflation since we first submitted our application. On the right side of your packet, right behind the one-page project summary, you'll find a brief excerpt from the pre-design report that was published in 2014. Behind that report is a project schedule to demonstrate that we're ready to properly manage this project. The pre-design report includes a rather detailed budget, and you'll see that mechanical, electrical, and plumbing costs combined for the largest expenditures in the project. Another significant cost is the replacement of a small tunnel-like structure that will be replaced with a larger structure that connects the 1916 building with the 1936 building. This will provide accessible entrances, restrooms, box office, and a gathering space. It will be accessible from both of these buildings. Elevation photos are included in the packet to show the dramatic change that will occur when that tunnel is replaced with a more appropriate structure. When completed, this project will enhance the functionality of the Potter Auditorium, and it will create the studio spaces and exhibit spaces that are necessary to support fine arts programming. This project will provide educational opportunities to the youth and other residents of the region, as this center serves as the home to Chatfield Public Schools Drama Department and to Wits End Community Theater. The Chatfield Center is already fulfilling its previous pledge to bolster the region's economy and quality of life as thousands of people and over $330,000 flow through the center each year. In the partnerships with the City of Chatfield, the Chatfield Economic Development Authority, the Chatfield Public School District, and the local theater group form a solid local base of support for this organization. With that, Madam Chair, we respectfully request funding for this space.
Mr. Young, you say that local funds have been committed for $21.6 million, and is that for Phase 1 and 2, or
it's for
is
everything.
That just for Phase 2?
I'm sorry, that's for the complete project. Okay. And as you'll see, that's primarily in the form as listed there, buildings and land and so forth.
And Phase 2 is $9 million?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing this project back before us, Representative Davids. I've spoken a lot in the past on this committee about how important these types of projects are for some of our smaller cities throughout the state of Minnesota. People need a reason to not just live there, but also to come there to see some events, to see what small town Minnesota is about. I think that, you know, a lot of people will probably actually travel from Minneapolis to go see Leo Kottke at Chatfield because he doesn't play a lot up here in Minneapolis. And I think if we're committed to all of Minnesota, to a one Minnesota, we need to make sure that our small towns are able to thrive at their fullest, and I think projects like this speak to not just our history, but also to the very culture and those things that I think make Minnesota one of the great states we are. So this is a project I've been a fan of for a long, long time. I hope that somewhere along the line we're able to find the money. As mentioned, the longer we put it off, the more expensive it gets, and that's probably not just typical of just this project, but many of the projects. So we know the numbers, we know the debt capacity we have, and I think that this is a project that's been waiting quite some time, and I think it's time that we start to move it forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, I want to know, have you put the star on the floor yet where Representative David's got his pin?
It's in design, sir. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, how much state funding have you received total on this project so far?
$5,340,000.
Okay, that's what that is.
Yes, sir.
Well, hopefully we can find a way to do this so that we can spare you the joys of coming here as frequently as you do.
As we promised you, sir. Yeah.
Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Davids, if someone were to travel from our current location to Chatfield, approximately how long would that take?
Madam Chair, the way I do it or the speed limit? It'd be about an hour and 45 minutes.
Any stoplights along the way?
No. Just there is one in Chatfield. We did try to get rid of that, but the DOT wouldn't let us. No stoplights, straight shot down.
They got rid of one.
Yes,
they got on.
Thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davids.
And thank you very much, Madam Chair. And just to wrap it up, just these where the star is going is not where the pin was, but where Spring Valley Wolves defeated the Chatfield Gophers with a heavyweight match with an 11-7 win. It wasn't a pin. I can't take credit for something I didn't do. So also we've had such name acts, big name acts like Lori Line. You just go down the list of who they've had down there, and every one of them packs the auditorium. And just to wrap it up, Madam Chair, and thank you, by the way, very much for the hearing and to the members. I went to see Colin Ray there at one time, and from the words of the famous Colin Ray, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
thank you,
committee.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to share, for those of you that are deep into our longer history, we all grew up in a small town somewhere where they had a high school band, and some of us grew up in a big town that had a high school band. And I'll tell you that this is a unique town with some unique assets. They have one in this town that is not in their project, and that's the music library. It's a historic music library. It has all of the band parts to a number of historic pieces that have been played by bands. I was a band director during one of these periods of time. I grew up at the time when the Music Man was made, so that does date me quite a bit. That I marched in the parade that opened the movie at Mason City, which is the river city in the movie. It's Mason City down that we all know in Iowa, down the road here. So this town is actually holding up our long heritage of our public school music programs, although they're doing it through some of their other physical assets.
We know about the library, Representative Salk. We've heard about the library for years and years and years.
That's good.
And it is good, and we treasure that library. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you very much.
Representative Sandstedt. Giving mind view vision. Representative Sandstedt? Oh, we have some.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
And members. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about House File 936. This is actually a project that I'm very excited to share with the committee. It's truly a one-of-a-kind project. While this project is located within the city limits of Hibbing, it's a project that actually has regional, statewide, and I'm going to go and say even global appeal. There is no other project quite like this that I'm aware of in North America. What the scope of this project is we had a mine view located in North Hibbing where tourists, people could go and actually see a live mine in operation. That mine location or that view had to be moved because the site that it was located on is now being actively mined. So the city arranged a land swap, and there is a new location, and what we're looking to do through this project is build a new mine view location. We had a really fabulous video for you. Is that not working? Darn. Okay. So the short video showed an overview of what has already transpired. The project is shovel ready. Some of the equipment from the old site has already been moved to the new location. Some rough concrete structures for the viewing have been put in place. So I'm sorry you can't see that, but maybe we could get that to the committee.
We will provide the link.
Okay, perfect.
People, and we can see it on our computers.
Perfect, perfect. With me today, I have the mayor of Hibbing, Rick Cannata, and John Tourville, our economic development director, and I'm going to turn it over to them to talk a little bit more about the project.
Thank you.
Madam
Welcome,
Chair.
Mayor Cannata.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Representative Sandstedt did a good overview of the project. This mine view has been around for many, many years, and like she said, it was moved a couple of years ago. So we've already lost one summer of tourism. It's This is a regional thing. It talks about the history of mining and where you can see an active mine right now. And there's, like Representative Sands had said, there's nothing like it anywhere in the United States and the world. And what we're shovel ready to a point right now. We have a tourist, our seniors in the city of Hibbing and our surrounding area, they're the ones that they man this project. They're always there every day. And this is how we keep the tourist center going, is with the buildings and the funds up there that they receive from the tourists. And we have tourists from every 50 states that have been there and 76 different countries, you know, just not last year because we've already lost a year. But this is a vital project for the community and the region to show how mining's been done in the past and the future, where you can overlook. They call it the Grand Canyon of the North, actually. And if you haven't been there, I encourage you to come there and see this, because you can actually see the active mining. So this is something that's needed for the city and the region to continue showing what mining's all about in the area from World War One to the present day mining. And I'd like to turn it over to our economic developer a little bit.
Mr. Tourville.
Madam Chair, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And members. Geez, you know, just a quick note. I think I was a college at the University of Minnesota back in the late 70s, and I was sitting in front of Phyllis Kahn trying to argue for technology. And it feels good to be back,
yep.
But I've made a few stops in between. This is a very important project. When I was administrator in Virginia, we had to go through relocating Highway 53. And one of the unfortunate side events from that was losing the Mine View in Virginia. I'm in a phased retirement. I'm helping out Hibbing here a little bit. And we've been doing some pretty good projects, and this one came on my radar. I met with the architects and with some of the staff at the city, and to see the Mine View come back in northeastern Minnesota, I think, is incredibly important. It tells our history. It's our culture. It's everything we do up there. Yeah, I mean, in World War II, 25% of the steel used to manufacture the warcraft came from northern Minnesota. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Today, it's sad that we don't have a site to go and visit. Our tourist numbers, I know you talked about it briefly. In 2016, we stayed open a little bit in 17, but in 2016, it was almost 30,000 visitors from every state in the Union except Rhode Island. I don't know why, but they abstained. And I've many countries. Ann Varda, who I believe her numbers, told me, I think there was like 78 countries that have visited northeastern Minnesota, not just for that Mine View, but it's certainly a part of their vacation itinerary. So it is extremely important.
It's part of our history. For pizza.
So now I'll talk a little bit about the economics part of it, the financing. We completed most of phase one, which was getting the new site viable for development. We had to get a road put in on this massive mine dump. We had to move some of the existing artifacts to this site, and then we tried to put in some trails and no footings or foundation in it, but at least get some bituminous down so we could begin the process of the construction and development of the site. And all that's left for phase one is, I think, the bituminous, and that's about 60,000. The reason we're here today is phase two, more so than phase one. That talks about the building foundations, two buildings that we want to build. One will be for the maps, if you will, the historical maps, the geology of all this, and then the other will be more of a tourist center with some of the items that the tourist center, the senior citizens will be selling. And some incredible views with glass fronts and things like that, and even some overlooks made out of glass with this modular block that maybe you've seen in some of the handouts. So then phase three is, it's down the hill a bit. There's two sites, and there'll be bike trails, walking paths, there'll be picnicking areas, and then more artifacts and more historical signage. So total project cost is about a little over $3 million. We're at about the $2.5 million point with what's been put in with the city's resources and some other resources. We're going after grant funding from leveraging foundations. I'm glad Tony Mancuso is here because we're going to St. Louis County. They've already made a commitment to help us out a little bit to try to put some matching funds together. So I guess that's our story in a nutshell. I appreciate everyone's time and open it up for any questions. With you, Madam Chair.
I remember the other mine view. And so they wanted to mine that again, and so we lost the view. And what's the predicted life of this mine view? And do they get off with our investment and mine our investment away or what?
Well, Madam Chair, I don't think that it'll ever be relocated again, but you can never say never when you live in an environment that is as fluid as northeastern Minnesota. But most of the asset would be relocatable, but the grade of the quality of the ore underneath the site, from what I've been told, there's much more specific site drillings, borings, with detailed information about what the metal content is, indicates that it will not be. I believe it's a 20-year lease that we entered into on the new site, and I don't anticipate it having to relocate in my lifetime.
And I
think it would be our children.
Madam Chair, I would have to back that up, too, because we've talked to them about this, you know, because of putting, you know, the taxpayers' money into something like this. And, you know, you, like Mr. Torval said, you can never say never, but the quality and where it's located, because it's the old burden where they've dumped a lot of the old tailings and all that, the site is so high up in the air that it's not even, you know, what they have said to us is not even feasible to do, because when you're on the top where we already started this project, you can look to the east and you can see Mintac and the city of Mountain Iron in Virginia where they have their wind farm up there. So the possibility of them, you know, like Mr. Torval said, you can never say never on anything, but chances are I have two children that passed away from muscular dystrophy. I would swear on their graves that this wouldn't happen, you know. But like I said, you can never say never, but the location of it and the height of this mine view, I don't think they'll ever touch it.
Madam Chair, thank you. In working out the arrangement of the land swap where this new location would be located, that was discussed in great detail for that exact reason. So we're not doing this more than once.
Why do you need two buildings rather than the tourist center and the you can't mix the tourist center and the geology?
It is one building. The tourist center is downtown when you come into downtown. This is the Mine View building. The tourist center seniors, they man it in the summertime for us and all that. So it's not two buildings. This will be a separate building that history of the mine and, you know, they work there. So we have a tourist center. It's called the senior center. So that's what Mr. Torrell was talking about. This is a separate, the history
okay.
of the mine.
At Mine View, you're having just one building.
Yeah.
But the one building has senior citizens volunteering their time to meet the tourists and educate the people that come.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. And there's bathrooms here.
Well, there will be.
Okay. All right.
With the help, yes.
Not just biffies, but no. Real bathrooms.
Yeah, there will be, yes.
And it can be open year-round.
They try to keep it, but with the weather and with the grade, how they're going to, just like the old Mine View, usually goes May through September. That's what the plan is here, and because of the way the slope and everything is going to be, it'll probably stay the same, you know, May through the end of September. And that's where all the tourists come to see is, you know, then the mining then. So I can't say it's not going to be open year-round. It's what the future holds, and, you know, with the tour, with the volunteers, you know, from the senior center, too, because those are the ones that man, you know, open the doors in the morning and close it down. They're the ones with the history. A lot of the people that are there, they were ex-miners, you know, the men and women that worked in the mines, so they know the history of everything on the mining area.
But phase three has paths and trails for people to see the mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that old mine view had places where people could stop when the center wasn't open.
Yeah.
So there, you're still going to be able to continue that, are you not?
Oh, yes. It'll be, you know, for the path and trail, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what the phase three would be consisting of, the bike trail, walking trails, snowmobile trails, you know. So they would still be able to get up there and look at the views, yes.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just looking at this, it looks like quite a bit of work has been done on this site. I just want to make sure that we are clearly defining what's bondable and what's not, and if staff could respond to that. Is this properly set up in a way that we can bond for this project without having questions raised about progress that's already been made on the project?
Ms. Dyson?
Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson, the witnesses can correct me, but my understanding is that the request for the new money is for work that has not been done. And there is a proposed amendment that would be added that would allow some of the work that has been done to be counted towards the match. But
Mr. Turville?
Yes, so the work that has been done has been identified. I see there's looks like an amendment here that the language looks real good. I guess could you repeat the question to me, Madam Chair? What was it?
Representative Torkelson?
Well, Madam Chair, I know how fussy these things can be at times, and how sometimes we think we're proceeding along just fine, and I just want to kind of put up the red flag or caution flag so that if this moves forward, that you make sure that you have considered this so that you don't hit a snag down the road. That's all, Madam Chair.
Where we say we can't release funds because didn't follow the rules.
Madam Chair.
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you. This amendment, this is an informational hearing. The reason the amendment is in your packet is to just alert people that money has been spent, and our request would be to acknowledge those funds already as counting towards any kind of a match from the state.
And when do you plan on initiating phase three?
Madam Chair, if we're successful, I think phase two and phase three we'd implement beginning right after as soon as the bonding money would be available. There are several paths we're looking at to continue to match whatever funds are allocated. And we want to do this with this construction season. Right now, if we don't receive any funding, what we'll do is we're going to do the paving of the trails that are in place up there and put the foundations in for two buildings. One is the geology mapping, and this was done, and the other is the visitor center.
Yeah.
And there was a focus group, mostly senior citizens, that demanded you break this out so they can have this kind of environment for the people that, with their families and others that want to be more studious and go over and look at things and take more time in greater detail. But this was a part of what, you know, came out of the focus sessions that we had. So I think we try to get it in. We begin both phase two and phase three this summer.
And then clarify for me, mm-hmm. Is the phase two and three a combination for the $1.5 million?
Yes, it is. And we won't come back and ask for any other funding. I'm not sure if that's where it's going. I mean, we can't help that we spent money already. It was very important. It was just trying to get things moved around in place. I call it shovel-ready plus. you know, Highway 53 will probably be realigned again also before the site will probably be relocated. So I think that we will find the funding if the legislature allocates the 1.5 to us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Damith. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee. Thank you for including House File 96 for the City of St. Joseph in this informational hearing. House File 96 is asking for an appropriation of $2.5 million for Phase 1 of the St. Joseph Community Center. That will include a gym, indoor track, climbing wall, a kid zone, and not limited to that, historical society, food shelf, and multi-generational, multi-purpose space. With me this morning, I have St. Joseph City Administrator Judy Wierens, and if, with your permission, Madam Chair, I will let her add in more information.
Ms. Wierens.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the and members of the Commission. Thank you for inviting us. We're pretty excited to be here and to seek funding for the St. Joseph Community Center. We have a piece, it's really two phases. In one phase, we call it the Jacob Wetterling Recreation Center, and the bigger, the larger picture is the St. Joseph Community Center. The city purchased the former Kennedy School in 2015, and interestingly enough, this facility was built by the St. Joseph Community in 1969 and turned back to the school district to run the school. So we've now brought the building back to the community, and they really want to repurpose this into some kind of a community center. To help gauge the interest of the community, we hired a firm to do a citizen engagement to find out what kind of interest you have in a community center, what are you looking for, and will you support it. After we received positive feedback from that and had a couple of community input sessions, we engaged an architect to do some conceptual drawings. And the information that we passed out to you shows what the gym would look like, adding on to the existing facility. The final project that we'd like to do is a new addition of 40,000 square feet, which would add 2 to 3 courts depending on the cost. The community really wants 3 courts for the reason of walking. If you build 3 courts, you can do a second story and walk around. People said that if you only do 2, it's too hard to navigate if you want to run. We're looking at adding some locker rooms, kids zone, and climbing wall. In the existing facility that we have, we'd like to do some multi-purpose rooms for intergenerational items, a large meeting room. We have our own historical society, which has a great collection of items, and so we're looking to put them in a place where people can come and actually look at what they have. And we'd like to locate the food shelf there. We recognize that this is a huge undertaking, and St. Joseph is, we believe we're regional in the fact that people come to St. Joseph from the west. We're located about 8 miles west of St. Cloud. When we did a market study from the EDA, they determined our market was actually going west, and we see that from people that come to town. We have some community, one community in particular that has 400 homes that is in a township, and they have the St. Joseph zip code, and they think they're part of the city. So they get frustrated if they can't even use the city compost. So we do feel we're regional because they feel they're part of the city. So we want to capture that group. The kids go to school with that same group of children, and so we want to get some synergy with that group. The mayor's been working with the YMCA in St. Cloud and with the College of St. Benedict and with St. John's University to create a partnership. We also recognize that this, the large undertaking, we need partners. So it's about a $12 million project. We're only seeking 2.5 from the legislature. We've invited the community to be a partner, and the city is part of the half-cent regional sales tax, and we've already dedicated $6 million of that. We anticipate, with the life of that sales tax revenue, we'll receive about $13 million, so we still have plenty left to do other projects. And the intent of that half-cent sales tax was to create something that you normally couldn't do, and this is something that truly we couldn't do without the help of others. The other thing that we is hard for St. Joseph is that we have the third highest tax-exempt market value in the state. While the college is a great asset to the community, it also represents a liability in the fact that we have to provide services that we can't, again, get revenue from. So not only do we have to help subsidize services, it's hard to build capital projects. So with that, I guess I'll open up for give questions.
Thank you, Ms. Wayrens. Is the sales tax in existence now?
It is.
Okay. So you don't have to do that?
We do not.
Okay.
And when we did, when the sales tax was done, that was one of the items that the community really wanted, was a community center.
Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you talk a little bit more about the tax exempt that you mentioned briefly?
We do. So when you take the city of St. Joseph, the College of St. Benedict and the Monastery of St. Benedict is located in the heart of the city. So 34% of our marketable tax value is tax exempt. And so when you look at the services we provide, police and fire, if you were a township where we provide fire services to, they pay anywhere from probably $90,000 to $70,000 a year for fire protection. The tax-exempt properties don't pay anything. So the city has to subsidize that. We don't get help from the townships for that portion. When you look at the police calls the city receives, we've gone through and identified through the police incident reports who are college students, and about a third of the calls that we receive are attributable to the college, again, providing services that we cannot recoup. We have reached out to the university, to the college, asking for some kind of payment in lieu of taxes, and they have not been willing participants.
Madam Chair, follow-up, please.
Representative Juergens.
It states in here that the mayor is working with the College of St. Ben's and St. John's University. Would that be for possible monetary contribution or programming?
More programming.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the population of the monastery at this time?
It was 150. I'm not sure what they're at right now.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Representative Torkelson.
Madam Chair.
Welcome.
Thank you. Before we start, you know, I'm always looking for connections, Madam Chair. And knowing that you're from Hermantown, and knowing that in New Ulm we have a statue called Herman the German, I think we're like cousin cities. We may not be sister cities, but we're at least cousin cities, Madam Chair. And I just hope you keep this in mind as you're moving forward with the assembly.
Maybe
of your
so.
Humor aside, Madam Chair, I'm happy to be here today to present House File 1366 regarding an amphitheater project in New Ulm, and I have two fine testifiers that know much more about this project than I do.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you very much, Representative Torkelson, for the introduction. My name is Tom Schmitz. I'm the Park and Recreation Director for the City of New Ulm. Accompanying me today, to my left, is Commissioner Gene Sledadahl, a two-term volunteer commissioner on the New Ulm Park and Recreation Commission, which consists of 9 citizens. The city of New Ulm dates back to the 1850s and is located 2 hours, when it's sunny, dry, and no traffic, southwest of here, on the south shore of the mighty Minnesota River, near the confluence of the Cottonwood River, which flows through Flandreau State Park in New Ulm. This past October, USA Today named New Ulm as the best city to live in the state of Minnesota. German Park was platted and designated on New Ulm's original plat, dating back to the 1850s. It is truly New Ulm's central park and is located downtown. The park hosts numerous concerts and special events annually. The park went through a major redevelopment in the 1990s, so we've been working on this for quite some time. Various elements of the redevelopment in the park. They were funded by city funds and local donor contributions. The redevelopment has included new restrooms, complete with running water and flush toilets, the bandstand restoration, pavilion replacements, the formal flower garden, angel fountain, and pergola, along with a new parking lot and an accessible trail through the Schwarzwald, the Black Forest Trail in German Park. One of the grand staircases was also constructed during the redevelopment, and the Kinder Castle play area was created. Unfortunately, funding ran out, and one of the elements, the Outdoor Performing Arts Center Amphitheater, was not constructed in the 1990s. Only a grass earthen embankment was established. You have an 11 by 17 two-sided color piece of paper there with some information and photos on. The embankment is the location for this future ADA accessible Outdoor Performing Arts Center Amphitheater. In 2012, the Friends of German Park donated $5,000 to the City of New Ulm so that we could commission Bolton & Mink Incorporated to prepare a conceptual plan and feasibility report, which I have here in my hands. Since then, the City Council has adopted the report, authorized fundraising, and recently approved an RFP for professional design services from landscape, architectural, and engineering firms to prepare construction documents and the bid package. Bid opening is this Thursday at 2 p.m. at City Hall in New Ulm. So we will have bids from qualified landscape architectural firms to prepare the bid documents and construction documents. Local fundraising to date includes over $150,000 in cash, including $135,000 from the City of New Ulm Park and Recreation Department budget over the past few years, and $150,000 in pledges, one of which is a couple in New Ulm that's pledged $100,000 if this project comes to fruition soon. The total cost estimates are at least $625,000 for this development of the Outdoor Performing Arts Center Amphitheater. The City of New Ulm and Friends of German Park respectfully thank you for your time and consideration of House File 1366 and up to $300,000 of State of Minnesota bonding funds.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Mr. Sledadal?
Madam Chair, I might just add that the German Park is located within a block from our city center development area, and it's considered to be an increasingly important part of economic development for New Ulm, for the retail part. We recently lost Kohl's, which I guess everybody has lost Kohl's recently, and we also lost a over 100-year hardware store, family-owned hardware store, because of the developments on the outset of town with the big-box retailers. Nevertheless, New Ulm still has a vital retail downtown. It has a lot of shops, and Park and Rec is an important part of what New Ulm offers to the region. And so this is more and more the park is being incorporated into the downtown area, so when people come for these other activities and the dining that is in New Ulm, they can also enjoy German Park as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, where's that statue of Herman?
Nor near.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Herman the German statue is at the top of the Center Street Hill in Herman Heights Park. It's it's one of our 40 municipal parks in New Ulm.
New Ulm has 40 parks?
Yes, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Of the 853 municipalities in the state of Minnesota, New Ulm consistently ranks about number five in per capita size and scope of park and recreation systems and commitment to the community. I'd like to also point out to you in your handout, you have two photographs of the amphitheater in which people do not sit in that slumped grass terrace area. They sit down in the front row or the back row. And the accessibility of this Outdoor Performing Arts Center Amphitheater is the key component of this project so that All ages and all abilities will be able to enjoy concerts and performing arts presentations.
You're really busy then if you have 40 parks to direct.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. Our local 0.5% sales tax that was recently reauthorized in 2016 and 2017 is going to move us to number one in the state as we build some more capital developments in the park and recreation system, and we appreciate your interest in the community of New Ulm.
What's the population?
13,500.
Okay. Representative Pearson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure Madam Chair would appreciate a Thusnelda, the German statue, beside Herman in the near future. But my question is actually geographically where this is located. I'm looking at the 200 North German Street map on the top left corner of your handout. So geographically, is this somewhere close to the Glockenspiel, or is that a walkable distance from this? I'm familiar with that location, but I have not with this park.
Madam Chair, Representative, members of the committee, German Park is located within two blocks of Schönlau Park, home of the Glockenspiel.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. And when is the German Festival?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this coming Saturday afternoon, we invite you down to the wonderful community of New Ulm for the annual Bach Beer Festival outdoors at the August Shell Brewing Company that began business in 1860.
Spring begins.
I think there's something in the summertime.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have Heritage Fest, which has been renamed and rebranded to Bavarian Blast in the summertime. And then, of course, October has a couple of weekends of festivities called Oktoberfest.
Yeah, those are probably better than this Saturday. I think I'm busy. By fire.
We'd be happy to give you a personal tour anytime you come visit.
Thank you. You may get it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Representative Tice. Good thing we built it a few minutes. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Tiama Tice. I represent St. Cloud. That was for you, Representative Sock, just so you knew who I was. I get confused a lot with Representative Keel, so I just wanted to make sure you all know what I'm talking about here. I love these projects because we're looking at some areas that are really the heart of our region. We're not just looking at St. Cloud, we're looking at the region. And I can talk to you for hours about baseball. I have spent many hours sitting in the bleachers watching baseball, whether it be at one time it was the St. Cloud Riverbats, then it became the St. Cloud Rocks. But also we have a wonderful tournament system for our amateur or town ball teams. We see a lot of tournaments there as well. But what's really cool about our area is that the draw we bring in. So when I talk about sitting and watching Riverbats or Rocks baseball, I could be sitting next to Jack Morris, who's watching his son play as well. We're getting people from all over the country to come into St. Cloud to see what great fields that we have that their kids are participating with. And without saying a whole lot more, because I could, I love baseball. I love to be there. The fields are phenomenal. You need to come and check it out. We're only 1 hour and 10 minutes from here. A really nice drive down up 94. I'm going to turn it over to our mayor, David Kleiss, who told me I'm supposed to talk more.
Mayor, welcome to the House of Representatives, Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's great to be here. I'm Dave Kleiss, mayor of the city of St. Cloud, and I'm happy to be here. I served in the other body a number of years ago.
I remember.
I know. In fact, it's the same time, Madam Chair, and I appreciate
it. I want to tell you about a wonderful experience I had in St. Cloud.
All of them are, Madam Chair.
Not always.
Oh, okay.
But the most recent one was when the library convention was in St. Cloud this fall. And I had to rise very early to get there for a 9 o'clock meeting, which I did. But I couldn't figure out how to work the parking meters at the convention center. And the people that were minding the parking meters didn't seem to be around when I came, but I told an employee who was there about my dilemma, and my parking problems were taken over by that person who I think put his own money in the parking, in my meter spot. And I thought, I don't know if that would happen in our area, but I really appreciated it that day. So it was a good day and a nice memory of the attendants or the people responsible for parking at the Civic Center or the River Center or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's a great story. We've got some really great dedicated folks. In fact, Tony Goddard here is our director of facilities and runs the facility you're talking about. So maybe it was he.
Two helpful people, one of which carried out the duties very well. So we're going to listen to you about your sports ass.
Well, Madam Chair, I appreciate the opportunity. And as Representative Tice mentioned, this is a facility that. It's a facility built in 1972, and it's a facility that is unique in a number of ways. It has baseball, it has hockey, and there's a golf component to it. It's unique nationally because a portion of it, the golf portion and one of the baseball fields, is actually located on land that's owned by the VA. So part of the VA hospital, it's a unique lease. In fact, I believe the only one in the country, two leases in the country where the actual federal property is leased back, and we have baseball, one of the baseball fields. In fact, that's where the Rocks play our amateur team there. And so that's a unique, in fact, it's very unique. It's one of those things that the lease runs out in about 25 years. 14 years, and we're just starting the process because we know it'll take 14 years to renew that lease through the department. But it's one of those very rare occasions, but it's a great collaborative effort with the VA. In fact, the golf course is used by a lot of the veterans that are there at the VA use the facility on a regular basis, but we as a city maintain that for the VA and for the community. What we're asking for In the proposal, $16.2 million request in the facility is listed in your packet a number of upgrades, and particularly the facility. It's an aging facility in hockey and in baseball. You have two fields there. One of the fields, again, that dates back to 1972. Is an older field and requires a tremendous amount of reconstruction, and even the aspect of we're looking at turf and changing and all of those parts are in your proposal there. But one of the unique aspects of the facility is it has a tremendous amount of use from amateur to adults, to children, to high school, to college. In fact, unique in the fact that it's the baseball facility are the facilities for St. Cloud State University and St. Cloud Technical Community College. They don't have baseball facilities on campus. They utilize our municipal facility, and that's one of the main reasons that we're looking from a bonding perspective on that. But also, we host a number of statewide baseball tournaments. A number of regional tournaments, both in hockey and in baseball. We have coming up this year, I think, for the first time, the American Legion tournament for a number of years. There are a number of, statewide amateur college. We also host the hockey and baseball programs from the high schools and some of the local additional local colleges. But St. Cloud State and St. Cloud Technical Community College, it's their entire field that they operate. So the proposal that you have is for that bonding request, and then of course matched from the city part with $4 million from the city and $4 million from private donations in the proposal. So there's a lot of more detailed information, and I'll open it up for questions, or if Tony talk about anything that I missed.
Edward.
Mayor, as usual, you did not miss much. The only thing I would mention is that this facility, this complex, has been doing this regional and statewide job for 48 years, and the city has, until this point, not requested any state assistance. So this is our first time asking for the state to assist with this facility. And as the mayor says, importantly, we provide a lot of service and to the two state university and college teams, as well as other college teams and half a dozen high schools, which also then are spared the cost of operating their own facilities. And in what we charge those other users is operating cost. So the state university and the state technical college have not contributed anything toward the capital cost of this facility. But I think everything else has been covered. We're happy to answer questions, of course.
Do the people that use your facilities from the technical college and the state university have practice fields of their own, or do they practice on your fields also?
They also practice on our fields, this complex, and then the technical college also practices on some other park and recreation fields that are city-owned. But they have no facilities of their own, either university or college.
One of the aspects of with the proposal is to add turf, artificial turf, and in the aspect of practicing with the facilities, it lengthens the season. It also allows additional use. Right now, for the baseball fields, for example, they're baseball. With the additional upgrades and the utilization of artificial turf, we'll also be able to use soccer, lacrosse, and rugby. Being able to have at the same stadium, so it'll increase the opportunities from a regional aspect for tournaments and for use. Soccer and lacrosse are growing exponentially in our market, and we have a number of parks and facilities that have that. Which, by the way, we have 96 parks in St. Cloud, but we're a much larger city on a per capita base, so we're. We're in that range, but it's a strong commitment to park and recreation, and this will allow us to enhance that piece.
Okay. Any other questions? Guess not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Really? Artificial turf? Minutes are in the packets.
Madam Chair, I move the minutes.
Representative Sansit moves the adoption of the minutes as printed for February 21st meeting. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The minutes are adopted. Members, we have a special meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, so you can have a complete caucus, and we can have a complete caucus. And then we'll come to committee, and we will have the same kind of a speed tour projects and get them on our, and then we'll be almost caught up. Not quite, but almost. And then we'll see you again on Thursday morning. So tomorrow night and then Thursday morning. This meeting is adjourned.